Welcome to Voices of
Blog
Freedom.
Talk Radio.
Hey, we're glad to have you here. It's always good to start your day with Jesus, and this Blog Talk Radio has made it a lot simpler. There for a while, it was people had to hunt around and try to figure it out and all kinds of different things, but I love it. It's made it a whole lot easier. It's made it easier to share. So hopefully it makes it easier for you just to stop in for a second and jump right in that. And you'll be blessed, not because I'm doing this, but because you're spending some time with Jesus and listening to his words that are coming out of his Bible. And I think this morning, a great place for us to start is in the book of Proverbs. And the Proverbs are interesting because we believe it to be written by the greatest mind that ever lived. We believe that Solomon was the wisest person to ever live. And that the reason he was the wisest is when it came time, and I guess he was anointed king, and God said, "Pray to me, Solomon, what are you asking for?" And Solomon was so overwhelmed that Solomon said, "Give me an understanding heart. Give me the wisdom to deal with your people. Give me the wisdom that will help me do a good job." And I tell you, every single one of us need to pray every single day for that kind of wisdom, because that's what this thing is all about. We've got to pray for that because, you know, it says, "Ask and you shall be given to you." You know, and that's a lot of this thing that's going on out there. You know, ask, 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 ask who? Ask God, ask the one who can give it to you. Because our problem is we're asking and chasing all these things that have no power, or if they have any power to help you at all, it's a temporary power. And then at the end of the day on that, you're left, you know, you're just left broke or down or out or whatever. So there's something about the power of God. There's something about drawing us to the power of God. And there's something about if we don't come, there is a bitterness and a chaos and an aggravation that happens in life. So why not avoid that? Now it says, well, you know, you're saying that, Lunsford, because da 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 da. Well, let me just go with you here. Chapter 1, verse 1, book of Proverbs. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. See, the mentor protege program has really been dropped by the wayside in our society. It take it down even to church now. We don't mentor the young people growing up. We want them to listen to us. You know, I'm the Sunday school teacher, I'm the superintendent, I'm the preacher, I'm the this, I'm the that. So we grow these people up to a certain level, and guess what they do? They go somewhere where they can be used. And that's just how it goes. So it says here, to understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark saying. So what are we doing here? Okay, wisdom is the principal thing. So let me give you this here in verse 7. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Once again, what's this all about? I never had anything in my life that helped me understand the power of God until he started doing physical things to me while I was under conviction and before I surrendered. Okay? So when I had that come over me, that was the fear of the Lord, and I felt like if I don't get saved, God's going to take me out of here and put me in a place called hell. Every person that's ever been saved, in my opinion, has had to come to this position in their life. They've had to come to the fear of the Lord, and that's the problem in schools with discipline. That's the problem in so many different things where you're not allowed to discipline somebody, or please don't say anything to my kid, or my kid's too smart for your kid, or, you know, my kid don't understand this because he's smarter than the rest of the kid. I mean, you know, you take it right to education because that's kind of where this thing, you know, That's where you're headed on it. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. You put Jesus in schools, for example. He can't hurt anything. You know, you say, well, I'm not for Jesus. Well, tell your kid not to listen. He don't listen anyway. But the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Listen, you can be the smartest guy in the world, and if you end up hell, that's not very smart. You end up in hell, right? But it's fools that despise wisdom and instruction, the person that knows it all, the person you can't tell anything, the person, you know, you take these reality shows and these people get just 15 minutes of fame, and just think about the number of people that ultimately have got hooked on drugs, have got themselves killed, or whatever has happened to maintain that spotlight. But see, if I go with that wisdom that Solomon asked, if I say, Lord, help me understand, Lord, open this up for me. Lord, I know you control all things. I know you say we have not because we ask not. I know you said when I ask and when I pray, pray according to thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I know those things. So help me to understand. Tell me what my next step is. Tell me what my next way to go is. And I believe that God will open those doors and close those doors and move us on down the path of life toward an eternity with him because we have agreed to seek after his wisdom. Because what's all this other stuff is foolishness? It's the world's plan. It's the world's wisdom. Well, Lunsford, it's just a crutch. It's just this. Well, the bad thing is you find out way too late in life, okay, what it is and what it isn't. Now, I could go down through here and I could read a lot of verses, but that verse 7 sets us up. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So think on that, because I want to take you to a father's wisdom in chapter 4, because this is one of the first verses that really sunk into me years ago. In chapter 4 of Proverbs, verse 5, it says, get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. I tell you, I struggle with this. I try it, but it's really difficult sometimes. So when I'm getting this wisdom, okay, when I'm trying to get this understanding, I read a book one time, How to Win Friends and Influence People, or Think and Grow Rich. It was in one of those two early self-help books before the big explosion of everybody writing a self-help book. But one of the things was understanding the other person's point of view. If I can understand why the other person's attacking me, if I can understand what's going on, that may help me. In the Bible, I have read enough about the devil to understand why he's attacking me the way he is. He's attacking me because I'm out here trying to get people to Jesus. If the devil's not attacking you, you're probably not trying to get people to Jesus, or you've quit, or you've got tired of it, or you've discovered that it's a whole lot easier to just let things pass, right? It's a whole lot easier just to let it flow down the old highway, right? So there is that situation. So if wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Well, there's a lot of good there. And here's what I get in trouble with, or I don't get in trouble with, but I mean, what astounds me about politics, and it astounds me about living in tiny communities like we do, because if I back up to Proverbs 3:27, it tells me something else here, okay? It says, withhold not good from them to whom it is due when it is in the power of your hand to do it. It's astounding how many people are holding somebody back today because they're a Republican and you're a Democrat, or you're a man and they're a woman, or whatever that might be. Boy, right there is the command in the Bible, okay, that says, withhold not good. If you've got the ability to help somebody in your job, you should help them. Even out of your job, if you have an ability or a way of being a Samaritan, or doing something good for someone else, you need to go and do it, you see. Because we're living in a society where nobody is reading about the Bible anymore. Nobody's reading about Jesus anymore. Nobody's reading about the ways of the Lord. You know, about the best even I've done when I've shared here with you is the 23rd Psalm, where David shares with us about the shepherd, right? How he leads the flock beside the still waters and into good pasture, you see. But there's problems all around us today because we've left the book of instruction. Our principal thing, our given, our point one has been for 2 centuries in this country to rely on the things of Jesus Christ, to rely on the Bible. The basic instructions before leaving earth is a good acronym I heard one time on the Bible. Does it have all the history of the world in the Bible? Well, no, how could it? Right? So what is the Bible? God's word coming to us in the form of a letter, given out in a way that we can understand it, apply it to our lives, and go out here and tell people about Jesus. We ought to be so excited at the opportunity to be able to go and tell people about Jesus that nothing else should matter in our life. But man, we pick a time and a place, and we're so, you know, we're so slow to go and tell people about Jesus. Man, oh man. Isn't it something? So, there's a whole book there in Romans, starting about verse 16 or 17 in chapter 1, where it talks about if we're ashamed of God, what's going to happen, and how he's going to be ashamed of us. But see, if I go through and I read all this Proverbs to you about all the problems in it, you know, about avoiding problems, avoiding people that create problems for you, you see, warning against the immorality. You see, there's so many things, you know, it's just like the marijuana thing right now. The push is on to legalize it because it could solve all of our financial problems. Well, you're never going to solve all your financial problems as long as you have politicians handling the money. You know, they waste. It's too wasteful. And I don't know how in the world some of these people stay out of jail. I just don't know it. But there's 7 things that the Lord hates. Boy, the first thing is he wants you to be as wise as you can be, right? But look here, there's some things that the Lord hates, and we really, you know, sometimes you think, well, man, you don't want to get involved in that. But let me just tell you what he hates. He hates a proud look. Now, what in the world is that? I'm going to say an arrogance about you. You have people look at you and say, boy, he sure thinks highly of himself, or he thinks he's better than he is, or whatever it might be. And we're in the political season, so the second thing the Lord hates is a lying tongue. I hate to tell you, folks, but somebody's a lying in this thing. And it's so sad. I mean, why does it have to draw out that way, except that we're trying to give the public what they want? But the lying and all the craziness is crazy. Then we've got the third thing that God hates was hands that shed innocent blood. Now, what in the world is he talking about here? Well, you start thinking about hands that shed innocent blood. Think about all the places our military leaders and our country's leaders send men and women where they get killed, where they get shot at, you know, where they get an arm blown off or something happens to them. Listen, we need a clear plan when we're going to go into something. Yeah, there it is. So a heart that devises wickedness, what's that all about? There's some people, and all they do is sit around thinking about what they can do and who they can do it to and how they can tear something up. Number one on that is the devil. But the devil has his fair share of demons. And if you don't belong to Jesus Christ, you might as well be a demon also. So that's pretty crazy. The fifth thing that happens is there are people that have feet that are swift in running to mischief. We've heard it a million times. The idle mind is the devil's workshop. all these young people graduate from high school and sit around the house playing video games and do whatever they do during the day, but they're not gainfully employed. We need to change that in this country if we want to save this generation of kids. If we don't, we raise a group of people who are unemployable. Well, guess what? If I'm not employable, how am I going to pay my way? Because everybody thinks I can draw a check, and everybody thinks all these money is going to come in, but those days are just about over. And I'm not going to be a bit surprised if a lot of these disability people aren't going to be living in some kind of a home, because I don't think they're going to be able to get the money. I don't think the government can sustain the money to pay for some of the things that they're paying for out here. Now, it's just, this is ripped from the headlines today, okay? So a false witness, God hates a liar. We kind of hit that on the lying tongue here in number two, didn't we? And number seven, he that soweth discord among the brethren. Well, there's some people in your church that just keep things stirred up, don't they? Everybody wishes they'd leave. Everybody wishes they'd get lost. But they just stay. Well, I'd hate to be that person, wouldn't you? Would that not be the most heartbreaking thing in the world to get to heaven? And, you know, it says among the brethren. So you must be a brethren or sister. And you get there and God says, you know what? Man, you really got off track. You ended up sowing way more discord. You had 50-year Christian life, and you sowed more aggravation in a couple of years than your whole 48 years of good did. Well, wouldn't that be hard to hear? You know, you thought the church was yours, and it's not yours. You thought that, you know, you should be the only one to teach Sunday school. You thought you should be the only one to count the money. You thought you should be the only one that on and on and on. And, man, isn't that something? We're in dangerous ground, people. We're on the edge of losing so much. So the challenge is for one of us to take this lesson today. And I'll have to be the first one because I'm delivering it. So I've had to go over it a few times. In my mind, I need to do a better job. I need for my character to do a little bit better. Now, how does my character do better? I need to realize Jesus is always watching me. I need to realize his expectation level for me is higher than anybody's. But I should have a high expectation level of myself. See, sometimes we lose hope. We get bitter. We think somebody else has got something that we don't have. And that's why heaven is such an important thing to look forward to. So I hope and pray today that you'll take a good, strong look at heaven. You'll take a good look at eternity. You'll see, well, if you're like old Brooke Lunsford here, you're 51 years down. Do you have another 50 in you? Probably not. But you've got 50 years into this thing. God's got a master plan for you. It's not of this world, but it's for all eternity. Don't get caught up in the circumstances. Don't get caught up in the bitterness. Don't get caught up in the chaos. Just go with God and see what happens. He's got a better plan. I'm telling you, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt. Have a great day. God bless.